What is up, everybody, and welcome to the tailgate. This is Tailgate Talks, and we are recording on Monday, September 16th, and this is episode 234. Today, we've got a Texas Tech football victory to discuss. Things are much better now that Texas Tech has a dominant victory over North Texas. We also have Arizona State coming to town this weekend for the first matchup with the Sun Devils as Big 12 conference foes. So lots of things to discuss Texas Tech football wise this week. And before we get into all that, we want to make sure that you are following the tailgate. Follow us on Apple, follow us on Spotify, give us those five stars for the tailgate. And if you listen to us on Apple, we always appreciate a review there. Also, follow us on social media. We are on Twitter at @tailgate_talks. If you want to get our thoughts from the game, during the game, see our picture of us at the game, any stuff like that, give us a follow there. We are also on Instagram, Facebook, and we do have a YouTube channel, so feel free to follow all those if you like. And lastly, if you have any comments, questions, or anything you would like us to discuss on the show, you can always send us an email at tailgatetalkspod@gmail.com. So with all of that said, let's go ahead and get into this week's episode.
Get your guns up, Red Raider Nation. Let's go.
All right, Dustin. Well, last time we were recording, things were down in the dumps, but it's crazy how things can change in just 1 week. Saturday victory over North Texas, 66-21, a dominant victory over the Mean Green, and Eric Morris in his return as coach. I had Wes Walker getting inducted in the Ring of Honor along with some other guys. It was a great Saturday at the Jones, an 11 a.m. early kickoff, and everything went right for the Texas Tech Red Raiders on Saturday. Dustin, what are your thoughts from the dominant victory over the North Texas Mean Green on Saturday?
Boy, is this a different vibe today than our podcast last week.
Yeah.
If you listen to that, it was pretty down in the dumps and terrible, and just hoping we didn't screw it up this week. And then this week, it honestly kind of went how I thought it would go. And
yeah,
we would look good, maybe for better, maybe for worse, but I loved everything we saw. Very minor, not good things. That list is very, very short after this game. The list of good things is very long and great. And I'm glad we had our big confidence boosting type game.
Yeah.
Right now, and not the other way around, maybe with like crushing Washington or ACU, and then like go into this UNT game and struggle, and then like we're kind of limping into the Big 12. I'd rather have this confidence game now. All right, now we kind of maybe figured some stuff out. Mm-hmm. Whether it's false confidence or not, I think confidence is still a good thing going into Big 12 play coming this week.
Yeah, it was a game that gave us, I think, a little bit of hope after the
yes.
start of the season. After a brutal, close victory to ACU, a brutal loss to Washington State. We don't want to get back into those, but this was kind of the game that you've been waiting to see from the Red Raiders. This is what you would have liked to see against ACU. Unfortunately, it didn't come there, but I think this was a time that we needed to see that this team can put their foot on the gas and just dominate, something you really haven't seen from this offense. And they put up 52 points in the first half. Of course, you had the help of a pick six to do that, but defense was giving you great field position throughout the game. And your drive chart in the first half looks like this: touchdown, field goal, touchdown, 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 touchdown. Those are things you like to see. Of course, you ended the half with a punt, but at that point, you already had yourself plenty of
pressing
points.
For more at that point.
Yeah. And so this was just a fantastic game from the Red Raiders to get the fan base kind of back on track, I think.
Yes.
That's exactly what you needed to get the morale boosted. Now, like you said, and like we talked about kind of after the game, We're going to approach a little caution. You know, one of the things Dustin did say last week was that this might be a smokescreen for Killy.
Maybe.
So we're not all the way back in yet. I need to see more consistent play from this offense. But everything I saw Saturday was definitely encouraging. The offense was taking shots downfield. It wasn't just dink and dunk offense. And then you had Taj back, which was nice. And he was able to get 100 yards like he normally does for you. And just easily. That one half of play, and you were able to sit him, you were able to sit Barron, and you got a lot of backups in. You got to see Will Hammond for the first time. You got to see Michael Hudson out there getting some reps. And so this was just this is what you needed, a game where you got the backups in, get them some play, and kind of see what some of these other guys got. So overall, a well-executed game, a much-needed blowout victory for the Red Raiders. Kind of just speaking about the offense here, what was your thoughts on Kittley's performance, and do you think, where are you at on the smokescreen side of this right now?
I mean, I called it, so I feel great about that personally.
Yeah, nice to get one right.
Yeah, wasn't my offense prediction necessarily, but I did say it all last week a lot, and I'm glad it worked out the way it did. I mean, like I said, it's still great confidence. I think, like I mentioned, the minor not great part was I still think our run blocking is sometimes questionable.
Yeah.
Like, Taj still has to make some plays out of nothing more often than not, or more than we'd like, I should say. And that was, like, the only knock on this whole game from anybody.
Yeah, and I think.
I still think, last point, like, our run game was good, even though the blocking sometimes hit or miss. The run game was really good. We did try and open up some new things. I love the pistol full house formation when all three tight ends are in the game.
Yeah.
Whew. Yeah, that was rough for North Texas to try to defend with Taj back there and then some play action out of it. That was great to see. And then if you look at the just receiving numbers, I mean, Barron had a good game. He was throwing some really good passes. No one had a standout game on that side of that side of the stat sheet. And I think that's where our strength is the versatility and just number of guys we have that can get open and get the ball to, and then what they do in space, I think is our plus. And I think we have a lot of really good guys that fit that as well. And I think Kitley's starting to learn and figure that out a lot better. So that's what I really, really loved out of that game.
Yeah, it was a spread offense, as in spread the ball around to everybody. And
we had
everybody a shot.
8 players score touchdowns in this game.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's what you want to see from your offense. You had 4 passing touchdowns from Barron. He also added a rushing touchdown. Yep. On there, you had Coy Aiken, John Carlos Miller, Josh Kelly, Jalen Conyers, all with touchdown receptions. Taj Brooks, Cameron Dickey, Jacoby Williams.
The list is so long.
Rushing touchdowns. And, of course, you had a defensive touchdown in this one. But, yeah, I liked, you know, Barron had a huge bounce back game. I thought he was decisive in his passes, was getting the ball out. And what we wanted to see is getting the ball out and not just like staring down Coy, staring down Josh Kelly. I think,
yes.
Now, is that to attribute to Barron and the play calling, or was North Texas defense like that bad? Like, that's the smokescreen part of it to me, is like, we got to see what this looks like again this next week against Arizona State for me to like really start to believe that maybe Kittley has finally figured something out. But, but on a game where he was kind of under the microscope,
and, yeah.
If things started to go poorly quickly, this would have been a rough one for him. The offense came out, they executed from the get go. You know, first drive, they go down and score a touchdown. Like, that's something you love to see.
And we handed it off like 7 out of 8 plays or something like that.
Yeah, he did get a little like, I thought, you know, a couple times you could gripe, you know, we do say run the damn ball, but like at some point, it's like when you just run the damn ball over and over, they're going to start guessing that you're going to run the ball. I think like our first, let's see, we got the play by play here. So our first drive was, Taj Brooks run, Taj Brooks run, Taj Dude. Brooks run, Cam Dickey run, Cam Dickey run, Cam Dickey run. And then it was his first pass.
So 6 straight runs to start the game off.
Six straight runs. And then your next drive, Taj Brooks run, Taj Brooks run. And then a couple passes, then Taj Brooks run, Taj Brooks run. So it was a heavy dosage of running, which we're okay with that. But also at the same time, it's you can't just become predictable in running the football.
Yeah.
And so that's some of the stuff that makes me nervous. But ultimately, like, I'm never going to gripe too much when you're giving Taj Brooks the ball. Just like you said, if you're opening up holes for him not becoming too predictable. There was a couple little outside runs that were nice, creating space for him, and those were the ones that were really successful for Taj. I mean, that's why I was able to get 100 yards in just two quarters. Yep. And so that was really nice to see. Defense did their fair share to help this become a blowout in the first half. We had three interceptions for UNT. Chandler Morris was definitely helping us out.
Awful.
Through a pick six to Braylon Lux, and then Bryce Ramirez and Chapman Lewis got in there with interceptions as well. What do you think about the defense and their performance in this first half? They really only had that one play that breakaway play that looked bad, but other than that, pretty solid first half.
Yeah, same thing like I did with the offense. One little minor thing that was bad, and it was literally just we were blitzing on a different angle, and they caught us in a bad play, and Ben Roberts just didn't have an angle. So he took one of the house for screenplay, and then after that, it was lights out. I mean, we made them look super terrible. He said Chandler Morris was god-awful. I mean, he was throwing fastballs only and sometimes hitting his own guys in the forehead for turnovers to the other team. And I think the defense responded so well from what's happened the last 2 weeks to them. I think they've heard it. I think they've acted accordingly because you could see the flying aroundness and the physicality and whatnot, and the turnover started coming because we didn't get sacks, but I think that's part of Eric Morris trying to get the ball out of Chandler Morris's hands early. But I felt like Chandler Morris was so sped up by just the physicality of everywhere. Receivers maybe were getting a little scared of hearing footsteps, and that stuff just starts to build. And then that second quarter, it built up enough and it burst quite a bit. And we had three interceptions and four possessions for UNT, and one of them was for a pick. But yeah, that turned into 21 points in like 56 seconds, I believe, for us. Yeah. And so they by far did their jobs. Yeah, kind of like the offense. We got to play a lot of defensive guys this game as well. And so I think everybody did a great, great, amazing job on that side of the ball too.
Yeah, they deserve the praise that they're getting this weekend. This was an offense that is slinging the ball around.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think a lot of people were skeptical that we were going to be able to stop this passing game. And they came out and they're playing angry in the first half. They're playing like they just got shit on by their coach in a press conference.
Maybe they did.
And and they came out angry, and they looked great. Like you said, they were flying around, making all sorts of plays, getting quarterback pressure, which was nice to see. And Chandler Morris really did not respond well to it.
God.
If he knew how to put a little bit of touch on his pass, it might have worked out a little bit better for him. But instead, he was just throwing, not like you said, 100 mile an hour heaters on a little slant route. So it was definitely good to see. I'm trying to read this play-by-play on ESPN right now.
Oh, God. And
they did a really bad job on this. It goes from 49-7 to 42-7 to 36-7.
The ESPN one sucks to read. You got to go to the Texas Tech webpage, Athletics, to get the really good one. That's the one I always look at when we talk about this stuff.
Yeah, they have
ESPN one jumps terribly.
Yeah, it's really bad. They have end of game 63-21, yet the final score 66-21. So someone did a really bad job.
It's hard to keep up with there.
Yeah, so I was like trying to read through, and I'm like, wait, that doesn't make sense.
Nope.
We scored 52 points in the first half. I thought it was just a real all around great performance, one that you needed to see from this team, all sides of the ball, playing well. So let's go through some offensive stats and defensive stats before we open up Club Red and do our prediction recap. Offensive stats, Baron Morton, 15 of 19 for 273 yards and 5 total touchdowns, 4 passing, 1 rushing. Taj Brooks, 109 yards and a touchdown. All that in the first half. John Carlos Miller, a shout out to him. Two catches for 55 yards and a touchdown. Back-to-back games with a touchdown reception now for John Carlos Miller. Micah Hudson got some run in this game. Got to see the backup, so he got some playing time. The crowd was excited to see him out there. He had three catches for 43 yards. Almost broke one open for a touchdown.
Shoelace tackle.
The crowd would have gone crazy if he was able to find the end zone there. Will Hammond got to see some stretch. He led two touchdown drives, which was nice to see. He looked pretty good. What were your thoughts on the couple drives we watched from true freshman Will Hammond?
Yeah, I liked that second half. We didn't have to play any of our skill guys. It's all backups and young guys. And so that was pretty sweet to see what the future's all about. Cam Brown, not so much of a passer, we found out. You know, athlete is there, running is there, throwing the ball and reading, not so much.
Not great.
So that also helped Will Hammonds. He looked pretty good. I thought he looked more confident than what a true freshman should look like, honestly. I mean, I know UNT wasn't much, but still just to have kind of poise and whatnot with 60-some thousand people in the stands is pretty nice. So I thought he looked really good, and we have something to look forward to. That's pretty exciting in a couple of years.
Yeah, that he had a nice pass to Micah. That one that almost broke it open was a pretty sick little pass for a freshman to make. Uh-huh. He had a couple other ones that are just fitting it in pretty tight windows. That was really impressive to see. So the future looks bright there with Hammond and Micah. If, of course, you're able to have them for several years, that looks like it could be a pretty formidable duo for you. So that was nice to get to see some of the backups get some run. Mentioned Cameron Dickey found the end zone.
He had a good game.
I thought he had a really nice game. Jacoby Williams also found the end zone. He had four carries for 27 yards. Cameron Dickey, 10 for 75. Coy Aiken had one reception for 70 yards and a touchdown. So it was nice to see his breakout, a big touchdown play.
It was one, a good pass from Barron, but more importantly, it was a terrible play by the UNT cornerback.
Yeah, he really mistimed that jump.
No help.
Barron had a great from what Killy said is that was a check by Barron.
It's like an RPO slant, and he changed it to a fade.
Yeah, and so that stuff he kind of worked out here and see, and yeah, it worked out. One catch for 70 yards for Coy. Defensively, like I said, three interceptions for the defense, held UNT to just seven first half points, 218 passing yards for North Texas and 135 rushing yards, for North Texas in those games. So that's nice. Numbers you like to see, especially from an offense that was coming in, putting up big yardage, putting up lots of yards in the air. 218 is a number that you'll take all day on that. And so, Texas Tech is back in the win column, and with that means Club Red is opening up for the second time this season.
Good hit, Chester!
Somebody turn on some damn music!
Good hit, Chester!
Dustin, let's go to you for your offensive selection for the Club Red VIP.
Do you want to say, I think you agree, Taj and Barron are automatic get-ins, normally. Yeah. So, outside of them, I'm going to go with tight end John Carlos Miller.
All right.
I really liked what I saw. I know it was only 2 for 55. One of them was a long 40-yarder for a touchdown and a sweet dunk.
Yeah.
That also was a great flag because, duh, but still pretty sweet in a game like this when it doesn't affect you. And like you said, second game in a row with a touchdown.
Yeah, he was going to be my selection as well. I really liked what I saw from him. I was kind of thinking about going O-line today because I thought the O-line played pretty well.
There were
well
a lot of backups that had to play because Porche was out, so our left side was filling the gap type situation.
Yeah, so I definitely thought their pass protection was pretty damn good. They only gave up one sack on the game, but I thought they did a pretty good job with pass protection. There was a couple penalties here and there, but nothing major. And the run game, I mean, you got 232 yards rushing in this game, so that's a number that you're going to like to see. I do think there's some stuff they can clean up in the run blocking, but that's stuff that you can correct, I think, pretty easily. And so I'll give my nod to the offensive line in this game. Did you see that photo of I think it's Shannon, Ty Shannon, who posted it, and he's just like puking.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
He's like in form, ready to block, and he's just like,
I feel like we've seen that way more this year than a lot of other years.
The new thing for offensive line to do is just puke in the middle. Do you see in the NFL?
The center did it on the ball. The
center puked on the ball.
Oh, yeah. We had one in my Friday night game, too.
Oh, God. People puking everywhere. Yeah. Maybe it used to happen. We just don't have Twitter and stuff to see.
I don't know.
But I don't remember it being this big of a thing. But all right, defensive side of the ball. I think there's a lot of selections here. Who are you going with?
I think this one's easy. We should just do together and give it to the guys that got the interceptions.
Yeah.
The Braylon Lux, Bryce Ramirez, Chapman Lewis, and Braylon Lux with the pick six to help us get that 21 points in 56 seconds.
Yeah, I had all their names listed down here as well. So it was pick, pick six, pick, punt, and then pick. So
yeah.
A lot happening there. Take three. We haven't got to say that a whole lot as much as we want to. And so anytime you get a take three, I think anybody who got to be a part of that gets to nod. But really hell of a job by the whole defense to keep this offensive passing attack contained and cause some havoc out there. So, all right. Well, that will do it for our Club Red VIPs for us this week. Our prediction recap for Texas Tech versus North Texas. I had 45-35 score. Dustin had 48-27. Both of us gave a little bit too much credit to North Texas, but that's all right. We were coming off, like we said, a pretty disastrous loss last week. So we were down in the dumps. So far on just game predictions on who's going to win and who's going to lose right now, I'm 3-0. Dustin's 2-1. On the spread, it was Texas Tech minus 9.5 points at the time that we took it. We both took that, so we both get the win there. So far in the season, that makes me 2-1. I took Washington State last week. Unfortunately, Dustin 1-2. We both missed the ACU one because I think everybody missed that one.
Spread was like 30.
Let's see. In this one, both of us had the over in this game. Of course, Texas Tech almost covered the over by themselves, so that one checks off. We're both 2-1 on the season so far on the over-under. Offensive prediction, I had Micah with three or more receptions. He had three receptions, so I got that one right. Dustin had no turnovers. I'm going to say, do you want to count this one? Because if the first team offense did not have any turnovers, and I think that's what you were going with.
I think that should count because we didn't expect Cam Brown to have to play so much, and Will Hammond, which he didn't do anything wrong, but Cam Brown's was horrible.
I think
I should get some for that.
Yeah, I think that should count because first team, no turnovers. That was what we were going into that.
First team was plus three in the turnover margin.
Mm-hmm. That's what I would like to see too. Defensive prediction, I had at least two turnovers for us, so that one checks as well. So nice. Pretty solid prediction week for me. Dustin had a blocked punt or kick. We did not get a blocked punt or kick, but we were going to give him 0.5 points for. There was like two punts that we were so close to blocking.
And then we had a missed chippy field goal because we had him sped up because of so much pressure.
Had the missed field goal that was like from the exact same, about the exact same area.
Like 5 yards shorter.
That they pulled a tech student, a female tech student, and she just drilled the kick. So
yeah,
it's kind of funny that happened like right before he missed that field goal. So overall, a solid performance from the Texas Tech Red Raiders against the North Texas Mean Green. And that means now we can shift our focus to Saturday's upcoming game, a 2:30 kickoff with the Arizona State Sun Devils. The Arizona State coming into town undefeated on the season, 3-0 right now, coming off of a victory in a hard-fought game against Texas State, who's a pretty solid little team there. So it was a good win for them. They've also beat Mississippi State. I can't remember who they started off their season with, but it's been a good start for the Arizona State Sun Devils to the season. Injury note for the Texas Tech Red Raiders, another season-ending injury was announced this week. It seems like every week we unfortunately have to do this, but Cameron Valdez suffered a knee injury and will be out for the remainder of the season. So that is something to note Looks like Cameron Dickey and Jacoby Williams will be getting more touches in his absence. But Arizona State coming in, Sam Leavitt, their quarterback so far in the season, has thrown for 573 yards, three touchdowns to one interception so far on the season. Kind of a little scary stat here, but has rushed for 155 yards so far this season. And so, if you know, the last time we played a rushing quarterback, things did not go well. So that sparks a little bit of fear in my eyes. He also has three rushing touchdowns on the season. Running back Cam Scatabo, that's the name to know on their offense. He's probably their offensive MVP so far on the season. He's rushed for 373 yards and three touchdowns. He's a versatile back, white running back. But you'll see him do a little bit of everything from receiving to running the ball all over the field. And he's a pretty good player. So there's definitely a formidable rushing attack that you're going up against. Wide receiver Jordan Tyson. I believe this is Jalen Tyson, former basketball player, here's brother, that plays for Arizona State. I remember he played at Colorado and was transferring, and I think he ended up at Arizona State, and that's him. He leads their team in receiving on the season with 176 yards and a touchdown. Their defense so far has given up 204 passing yards per game and only 65 yards a rushing a game. So it seems like their defense has kept opponents in check so far. They also have 8 sacks on the season, 3 interceptions, and 4 fumble recoveries on the season as well. So there's a defense that has been turning teams over, creating more opportunities for their offense. And so Arizona State on Saturday, Dustin, your thoughts on this upcoming game against the Sun Devils?
Yeah, you mentioned the two big names there at the quarterback and running back. Running back's by far the focal point. But the scary thing, and I listened to most of the press conference today, at least Joey and Tim DeRuiter, and the quarterback scares me.
Yep.
He is mobile, and we do not do well with that. And they compared him a lot to Washington State's quarterback. So that even makes it worse.
Yeah, as soon as I saw that, he has over 100 yards rushing, and I was like, God damn it.
So, yeah. Which, in hindsight, that helps us that we've played a player like this and did some things very wrong against. So we're going to try to not do those and have some better contain and maybe a spy or so to help deal with that. So that's what scares me the most once I heard their press conferences today. So just trying to contain, obviously pressure the run game, but then contain the quarterback if we can force him to pass.
Yeah. Another name worth mentioning, they do have a pretty solid tight end in Chaman Medeir, who is their new tight end this year after we stole their tight end from last year. There's one of the connections we have, but that's what definitely what's got me curious about this game is to see if you've improved any in your running back quarterback contain. I believe, you know, we have a pretty good rush defense when it comes to stopping running backs. Like a running back really hasn't torched you so far this season. The only bad rushing stat you have really against you is their that quarterback. And so, we know that's been a problem. I feel like that's been a problem forever at Texas Tech. No Texas Tech defensive coordinator has ever figured out how to stop a rushing quarterback. But you have some really bad examples of, you go back to Avery Johnson last year, you go back to just 2 weeks ago, you have some really bad examples. And so this is a good opportunity for the defense to show that they made some improvements there and try to stop him. But, you know, you can't solely focus on stopping him because that's where Scatabo is going to eat. And that's a really good running back that you're going to have to figure out how to stop. He's definitely the best running back that you're playing so far this season. And, and definitely one of the top ones you're going to face.
He's really good. Really, really good.
Your thoughts on Arizona State and Texas Tech in their first matchup as conference foes now? We've obviously seen them play just going back, what, 8 years or so, but now it's much more meaningful as Big 12 conference foes.
Yeah, like I said, they're better than expected this year. Joey even said in his press conference he thinks they should be ranked coming in 3-0 with a good Texas State win last week. And so I'm glad we get them here. That's pretty much my only plus right now, just because they're better than they should be. But I think us at home is really good. It's especially been pretty good under Joey. So I think we play better at home. We have a really good home environment. Yeah. And a 2:30 game also helps in that case. Even though the 11 o'clock game was a good crowd, I will say that, for especially how hot it was. So, yeah, it's weird to just have so many conference adjustments. I mean, we just got new teams last year to talk about. Now we get more new teams, and we got to talk about them again. So, but Arizona State doesn't like that build up any flames in me type deal. So, yeah. But I think, like, us, West Virginia, and Arizona State could all kind of be siblings in another lifetime, basically. Like, we're all in the similar boat of schools, I believe. So that's kind of the only thing I kind of get from them.
Yeah, I mean, it brings back fond memories of our trip to Tempe, which was great, besides the football game. A fun time besides Texas Tech playing football.
Yes.
Yeah, it's cool to me to just have these new matchups and get to see some of these different teams coming to the Jones. You know, every year now you're just going to have some teams that you're not used to normally seeing come in. And so new colors, always like that. What jerseys are they going to wear? And I know they got some pretty cool combinations. And so, I don't know. I like all that stuff. I like having other fan bases come in. And you know, they try to shit on Lubbock, but then they come in and they'll inevitably have a great time, and people of Lubbock will show them a good time, and then they'll be like, all right, that was pretty cool. And so I'm just excited for the, you know, to get these kind of unique matchups that, you know, we're not really used to. And so, of course, who knows how long we have to get used to this, or it might be different.
No
but,
kidding.
Conferences changing all the time. The Pac-12 was the Pac-2, and now it's the Pac-6.
Pac-State.
So things are changing, but I find that really cool. Offensive side of the ball, we talked about it. It was an encouraging sign that we saw last week against UNT, but can the offense build off that performance, and can they – the consistency, something that we talked about with this offense, can they bring it over to the next game and keep that consistency going that we saw there in the first half with the first team? What do you think, Dustin?
Yeah, this one we can find out if that's going to be more the norm, or was it a smokescreen because UNT's terrible. And we also just had really good field position because of interceptions. And so the consistency against a real team, does Barron keep his, you know, composure and nice touch on some throws and cleaning up some of the run blocking? But I know some of that's also coming with a lot of moving parts up there. You know, Sterling Porche was out last game. Hopefully he's back at left tackle, and some moving parts up front. But, like, can Barron keep being consistent with some touch throws and nice decisions? And like I said, I really love our versatility and how we spread the ball. I don't need a guy to go for, you know, 8 for 100 every game. It'd be nice to throw one in there, but you can see from a lot of our games, we love to spread the ball around and get a lot of different packages in. So I like to see us to keep building on that as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. And I mean, you could basically copy and paste this for almost every
game
for the rest of the season. It's just, I just got to see him do it. And then when he does it 2 games in a row, I'm going to want to see him do it 3 games in a row. That's just, like, I want to be able to see it become a thing that we don't have to question anymore, is like, what's the offense going to look like? What's Barron going to look like? Is, you know, a better defense that is able to get some quarterback pressure? They have 8 sacks on the season. A defense that has 4-7 turnovers, is that going to, like, speed Barron up and make him focus on his one first second progressions and not really see the field and find the guys that are open? Or is it going to make him rush again where he's throwing interceptions and you know, we're having to get to fourth down, and then that puts you know, analytics in question? And, you know, that was nice. We only had to go for, I think, one fourth down against UNT. So it's nice to be able to convert on third downs and to put yourself in good situations that you didn't really have to go to that. And so that's really what I'm looking for. Are the runs with Taj consistent? Is the run blocking a little bit more consistent to help free up some lanes for him? But also, are you not like super reliant on him like every time that like is it just going to be first eight plays of the game, Taj? So some of that predictability that he tends to lean into, I want to see some of those things go away. But really, I want to see another clean offensive performance. And if he can put two back to back, like that'll really start making me kind of believe that maybe he can do this. But if you take a step backwards this week, I know the fans are going to get restless about it, and things could get pretty shaky here for you, especially with a home game to start conference play, a big opportunity. You might be 2-1 right now, but you are 0-0 in Big 12 conference play, and Big 12 championship still theoretically.
Real season starts now.
So defensively, another side of the ball that we're looking for that consistency on, had a great performance against UNC, a really heavy passing offense that you were able to force interceptions on and really contain. This is maybe not such a pass heavy team that you're facing here this week, but the team that's going to be able to throw the ball. We're going to be able to run the ball. Like we talked about already, two offensive threats rushing the ball. How do you feel about the defense's opportunity here to build off last week's performance?
Yeah, it really just comes down to, I think we're going to handle the running back fine. I don't think he's going to have a, like what the last Arizona State running back did to us type game.
Not.
it's going to come down to the quarterback containment and what, if we let him loose or he gets loose more than like a couple times, like that's what Mateer did to us. He got loose almost every play. So can we stop that, contain him, spy him, whatever we need to do to keep him from not gaining huge, huge yards on us that way? Because I think our secondary is coming around. Like they're young, but I think they're coming around. Obviously, Braylon Lux being there these last two games really helps. Yeah. These guys, so like we saw when Mohorn and Braylon Lux are both playing, we have two pretty good corners in those spots, and our safeties are really coming around, Chapman Lewis especially.
Yeah, back-to-back weekends with the interception for Chapman Lewis. Unfortunately, he had to leave the Arizona State game early because he got called for a targeting, or not Arizona
Washington State.
Washington State, sorry.
Yeah.
He got that targeting call, but I definitely think the secondary is starting to catch up. We've liked Tim DeRuiter like the whole time we've had him.
Yeah.
And his ability to kind of get these guys up to speed quickly, learn from their mistakes and build off of them, I think has been impressive. I think you've seen that so far. Mm-hmm. And this is the opportunity to show what they've learned from the Washington State disaster. And can they bring it to this game and run contain and quarterback spy properly and do all those things to help your secondary out a little bit more with some of the linebacker contains? What is it, reading the gaps and all of that kind of stuff that just felt really shaky in that Arizona Washington State game. I keep going back and forth.
Yeah, there. Very.
It's hard with all the states. That's why the new Pac-6 state school is going to be really hard. But, I'm just really curious to see if they can contain this guy, hold him, and make him beat you, try to beat you through the air. I feel more confident that if you're going to win this game, it's going to have to be – they're going to have to throw for it and try to convert on some long yardage downs and not just a bunch of breakaway runs. So that's what we're hoping for. Improvements on both sides of the ball here. Consistency moving forward. Anything else you got on this Texas Tech Arizona State game that you want to discuss?
No, we hit everything I needed, man.
Well, we're looking forward to a chance to start Big 12 play 1-0 this Saturday, 2:30 kickoff. Great time for a kickoff.
The best time.
Enjoy a little bit of tailgating, go to the game, and then you still have your evening. You know, still get to watch the nightcap of games and stuff. And so I did enjoy the 11 a.m. kickoff. I tweeted out. I was like, don't tell anyone.
Yeah, you're a secret 11 a.m.er now.
I think I'm 11 a.m.er. I don't mind it as much anymore. The older I get, I'm not, dying to wake up and tailgate. Get the game over with and then enjoy the rest of your day. And if it's a win, it makes the rest of your day even that much better. So,
yep.
Let's get to our predictions for Texas Tech and Arizona State. Dustin, what score are you going with?
I already wrote it down, and then I looked back at my notes, but I'm sticking with it. I think Texas Tech wins 38-31. This is the same score I picked for Washington State now looking back. But I looked over it like five other times while we've been talking. I'm like, no, I'm going to stick with it. 38-31, Texas Tech wins a close one.
That's funny. I had a similar score in mind, but then I changed it last minute. I'm thinking 35-27.
Texas Tech, low.
Texas Tech wins. I was thinking a little bit higher, but then I was kind of thinking back to the Washington State game. That wasn't so much of an offensive game as we thought. A lot of yards in certain areas, but scoring was hard to come by. I think we're going to take a little bit step back offensive production-wise.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit. You're obviously not going to score.
52.5.
Yeah, 52.5. So I think Arizona State's defense is going to make you work to score, and I just don't necessarily trust Kittley enough yet to just say that we're going to go hang 40 or 50 on these guys. So, and then I'm hoping that our defense does enough with the home crowd and everything to keep them from scoring as much as you. So with that, the spread as of Monday, as of right now, is Texas Tech as a 3-point favorite. So with both of our score predictions, that has both me and Dustin taking Texas Tech to cover the minus three that they are predicted to win by.
Yep.
The over under of this game is 60.5 points right now on Monday. Both of our predictions also have us going over that 60.5 points. So I think we've gone over every single week so far. That's only lost once out of three games. So let's see if that going over keeps working for us there. Offensive prediction time. Dustin, what is your offensive prediction for Texas Tech versus Arizona State?
I want to run this one back and hit it the right way with the no turnovers. But I really do think, like we just talked about it with Barron, like that was what one of the main problems of the Washington State game was, is the turnovers in bad situations and bad field positioning. And the games you don't have any, it leads to great, great things, especially offensively. I think the receiver position is a little too tough right now with the versatility and how much we spread it to try to pick something there. Obviously, I know like Josh Kelly's our number one and doing great, but kind of a little tough right now to still pinpoint somebody from there.
Oh, yeah. I like that turnover because I think if you don't or I like that prediction because if you have no turnovers, I think you're going to win this game. More times than not, when you don't turn the ball over, you win games. Just unfortunately, when we turn the ball over, it just snowballs and you just keep turning the ball over. So, yeah, if we're able to be clean on offense, I like our chances on Saturday. I do agree. Like it's been, I've been trying to focus on wide receivers to start the season. I've had two Micah Hudson bets, one cash last week, thanks to being up so many points that we got to play them. This week I'm going the tight end route. I'm going to say we get two tight end touchdowns in this game. I'm not going to say which ones, but I do like that how we have used Conyers. I've liked the some of the plays we've run with John Carlos Miller. There's obviously like we've been using him in the red zone a little bit more. We've been using him on some a lot of plays. We've had Tharp and Conyers and John Carlos Miller out there, and so I really like that. I think with Conyers going back, I think we're going to try to get him a touchdown.
I like that just a lot.
And so, yeah, I'm going two tight end touchdowns against Arizona State on Saturday. Defensively, what route are you going for the defense this week?
I still don't have a lot of confidence in our defense to be able to pinpoint some. So I'm going back to special teams, and I want a return touchdown this time.
All right.
I know that one's pretty large. Like, that's pretty tough to get, but I think we can get one.
All right, Dustin going with a special teams return for a touchdown. So Dre McCray or Josh Kelly, whoever is able to do so. Also, Jordan Brown does some kickoff return stuff too, so maybe it's him breaking one out. He had a pretty nice little move that failed to mention him, but he had a nice little play in the UNT game that was
sidestepped like three times. Man.
Yeah, that was a sick play by him. So he has the ability that is to be elusive out in the field. Defensively, I'm kind of going back to the well here. I did the under 500 passing yards one time. I'm not going to go ridiculous, but I'm going to say we hold them to under 200 yards rushing.
There you go. That's good if we can do that with that quarterback.
That's good if we can do that with that quarterback and the that running back. If yes. you're able to hold them to under 2 yards, if you we follow these things that we predicted here, no turnovers, a couple touchdowns to the tight ends, special team return for touchdown, hold them under 100 yards rushing. That's going to be a dub for the Texas Tech Red Raiders on Saturday. And so that is what we're going with. Again, I just repeated the offensive and defensive ones, but our score prediction, I've got 35-27 Texas Tech winning. Dustin has 38-31 Texas Tech winning. So we're both kind of around the same range there. And then that also has us taking Texas Tech -3 and taking the over of 60.5 points. So obviously these lines might change, but we're doing this on Monday night, and these currently are what the lines are. If we cash our bet right now, that's what those lines would be.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that will do it for our Texas Tech and Arizona State preview for this week. Dustin, before we get out of here for the week, do you have any final shots for us?
Just quick NFL tidbit. Chiefs won a close game yesterday against the Bengals, and some people are upset that at the end of the game, the Chiefs got a PI call.
Yeah.
When that was the definition of defensive pass interference playing through the back with early contact. Like, it's a ridiculous argument.
God, I read through some of the comments and I was like, this is, I tweeted that out. I was like, I don't think people know what a offensive pass interference or a
that's like one they'll put on training film for every level of officiating football. This is how you have early contact and play through the back. He has chance for the ball, sure, but you can't ram into the back of the dude.
That's what I saw so many people like. The rules stay if he's going for the ball. It's not, I'm like, you can't just say you're going for the ball and completely knock the receiver.
It does out say that. Glad you can read. Now keep reading.
Yeah. Like, you still got to give the receiver a chance to catch the ball. You can be going for it at the same time, but you can't just completely eliminate them from the from the play. And he just ran right up through him. Yeah.
So stupid people on the internet that are just tired of the Chiefs winning, and now they just don't want rules to be done correctly.
Yeah. They just want you to not throw the flag on a play that, you know, Rice had the chance to make that play, and the guy just ran completely through him.
Yep.
Yeah. my final shot is it's week two of the NFL season, but the injuries are already freaking piling up. It has been a brutal week two injury wise. Cooper Kupp, Rams already lost Puka Nacua. AJ Brown seems like he's going to be out for several weeks.
Debo just went on.
Debo.
We have five bench spots in our fantasy league. Four of my five bench guys were out with injuries this week.
Yeah, I got it.
It was bad.
Yeah, this week too. It's not supposed to pile up yet. I got Kenneth Walker, who's out as well. Of course, you know, Tua got hurt. So,
was bad.
Like, he's going to be out. That was not good. But right now it's pretty brutal for fantasy. With all these injuries, Justin Jefferson got hurt. Doesn't look like he's going to be out for too long, but he got a little banged up. Lots of guys getting banged up here early on in this season. And so, just make sure you're paying attention, you know, get on those waiver wires. You're going to, seems like we're going to have to be living on waiver wires.
Pacheco broke part of his leg.
God. Yeah. That's the other one. Yeah. Isaiah Pacheco. Man, it has been brutal. Usually this starts happening like week six, week seven. But week two, lots of guys going to the IR here already. So it's going to be frustrating. I don't even know what the Chiefs are like. I saw they were going to have Kareem Hunt come.
Samaje Perine. I mean, they're just going to have to running back by committee. I mean, they got Perine like at the end of training camp from getting cut. And that's who I'm going to try to target and pick up this week.
He's like a pass catching guy.
He's a third down pass catching guy, but that player has always done really well. Like Jerick McKinnon.
Yeah.
Like he's done, that player's always done really well with the Mahomes and the Chiefs and Andy Reid. So that's who I'm going for.
Yeah, that's who I would target. But of course, there's going to be a lot of other players you're going to have to target because there's a lot of receivers going down. So pretty brutal week two. So let's hope these guys can stay healthy, but that'll do it for us this week here at Tailgate Talks. A little bit shorter of an episode for you guys. A lot more fun around here when Texas Tech gets a victory than after a loss. So we hope that you Enjoyed our UNT recap and Arizona State preview. To catch everything we're doing here throughout the rest of the football season, make sure you are following us. Follow us on Apple. Follow us on Spotify. Give us those 5 stars. 5 stars for the tailgate. If you listen to us on Apple, you can always leave us a review there. Also, follow us on social media. Follow us on Twitter at @tailgate_talks. If you want to see what our thoughts are during Texas Tech football games as news breaks and all that stuff, give us a follow there. We do, however, have Facebook, Instagram, and a YouTube channel, so feel free to follow us there if you like. Thanks for hanging out with us today. We hope you have fun at your tailgates and enjoy the 2:30 kickoff with Texas Tech and Arizona State. So hope that we're back here talking about another Texas Tech W next week. And as always, we'll catch y'all at the next tailgate. Peace.